Does the law really work the way TV and movies depict? Let's discuss with Christine and Christine.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. This is our podcast, Law and Pop Culture, and this is a podcast hosted by the Mattis Law Group, and I am your host, Christine Mattis, and I am joined by my fabulous co-host.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christine Karenza-Hagurski. Welcome to our podcast. So we're kind of following up on something that we talked about before. Very interesting topic that has been going on for many, many years, and this is the estate of the one and only, no, that's not right. Is it the one and only? No, what is it, Chris?
Yes, the iconic prince.
And,
it was something that I noticed that came up recently that I kept thinking like, oh my gosh, it's not really over yet. And side story, if anyone watched the Super Bowl and watched the halftime show, it made me think of Prince because I think his halftime show was probably one of the best ever. If you remember, did you see it, Chris, when he did his live, right? It was amazing. And he did it in the rain. Oh my God. I kept thinking he's going to slip. Looks so slippery.
Iconic. I remember talking about this very recently with a girlfriend of mine. And because we were talking about halftime shows, and I think we were talking about it like the last time we had a Super Bowl, really not recently, but when she said that was the best halftime show ever. And all of these others, I hate to say it, just nothing is ever going to be the same after his show. I said, I wish I saw it because I wasn't watching football at that time, Chris. So I never really got to watch that.
Oh, it was amazing. And they showed little glimpses of it last night. I forget what show it was. And I was thinking like, oh my gosh, it was really well done. So, you know, Prince, he did, you know, he set himself up for this iconic type of stature, you know, that he really is someone that, you know, people know about. And people, you know, refer to his music and he's known internationally. But sadly, you know, things have happened in his estate since he has passed. So I'll do a little rehash for all of us. And we did a podcast about this in the past. And, you know, one of the things that we like to talk about in our podcast is things that have happened in the news or celebrities. And if they passed, you know, what's going on with their estate? What are things that they got right? And what are things that they got wrong? You know, and so with Prince, you know, let's go back in time. So he died in 2016 and he had an estate that was worth about $156 million. But he died without any type of planning, no will, no trust. So that was the beginning of a 6-year court battle. Can you believe that, Chris? 6 years, years of fighting. You know, so just to go back in time, in Minnesota, you know, when someone dies without a will, you have to look at what the law of Minnesota says. Who receives your asset? Every state has this. Every state has what they call an intestate statute. And basically, it's kind of like the default provision, right, Chris? Like, what happens if you don't have any will?
A state decides who gets your assets.
Exactly. So in Prince's situation, when he died, they had to go to court. And they had to figure out, you know, which one of his heirs would receive his assets. It ultimately was concluded that 6 half-siblings were declared his legal heirs, but there was a fight of the consensus on the distribution plan and how frequently they're supposed to receive their distributions. So that was, you know, a big portion of the court battle. And you could see again, if you had a will, something in writing, all of this is ironed out. Whatever you decide is what people will do, but because nothing was planned, it's up for grabs, you know? So again, one of the big questions was that, you know, we just didn't have anything basic, not even a will. So when he failed to leave a will, they had to go to the probate process of Minnesota and the courts, you know, had to decide what to do. And sadly, when that happens, not everybody's always happy. So there's always disagreements, you know, so they had to go to court to figure out distributions and all the questions that came up for it. What happened was that eventually sales of the shares were going to happen. Three of the heirs sold their shares to a company called Primary Wave in August 2021. Primary Wave acquired the rights of Prince's exclusive song catalog. And this actually didn't make things easier, added more complexity to this whole estate situation. Then there was a fight regarding the estate's valuation. There was a bank that was involved, and they valued the estate, Prince's estate, at $82 million, but the IRS estimated it at $163 million. Eventually, again, got to go to court, the lawyers representing the six half-siblings, they settled on a final valuation of the $156 million. So again, these are all the things that you can iron out if you had something in writing. But now, you know, you're thinking everything is okay. Now, just last month, a new lawsuit was filed. So in January 2024, there was a new lawsuit filed among the heirs. They were alleging that McMillan, Spicer, and Torres, they filed a lawsuit alleging that Sharon and Noreen, along with the other other heirs, they breached the trust that was created by Prince. They were, and now McMillan, Spicer, and Torres, they were managers of the LLCs that are involved. Primary Wave, right? So Primary Wave is a music publishing company. They purchased the shares of the three heirs, granting them ownership of about half of the estate's assets and the extensive song catalog. And that's what's so interesting about this, Chris, is that, you know, if everyone remembered, at one point, Prince changed his name to the artist formerly known as. Yes. And that was his way of getting back to Sony, because Sony, when he first started out as an artist, was keeping all the rights and catalog of his songs. And he fought to get that back, and he fought hard, and he did. But then here we are, you know, when he dies, now we're back to almost the same battle. Who's owning it again? It's sad. It's always sad. So anyway, in August 2022, a Minnesota judge approved an agreement that finally settled that court battle, you know, as we had mentioned. And they were saying that that the estate was going to be divided among the three heirs, their families, their advisors, and Primary Wave, and included $6 million in cash and music rights and other things. But like I said, this court case reopened up old wounds. And basically, McMillan and Spicer, they were the managers for Prince, and they had a separate organization. They, an entity, was called Prince Legacy LLC, and it oversaw the other half. So you have two halves of Prince's estate, Primary Wave and Primary Legacy, Prince Legacy. So it was alleging that four of the family members were really improperly abusing their position in the LLC, and they were trying to remove McMillan and Spicer, who were managers. They're really in the music business, Chris. They're in the entertainment business. They really understand the business. And according to the lawsuit, the family members were trying to change the bylaws, trying to eject McMillan and Spicer, all without following the rules of the operating agreement. Every entity has rules. If you're an LLC, it's called an operating agreement. And there's rules for all of this. If someone wants to be bought out, if someone dies, if you become disabled, there's a what-if plan and what to do. But apparently, the allegation is the family members were bypassing all that and trying to do things on their own. Apparently, they were trying to sell their shares, and it was going to upset the 50-50 balance of the estate. Just sounds like a mess, Chris, a real, real mess. So yeah. McMillan and Spicer, the managers, were looking for an injunction to prevent any changes from taking place, making sense, arguing that the changes would cause chaos in the company, jeopardize relationships, and really ruining their relationships and their reputation. And again, we're only hearing, you know, from McMillan and Spicer side about this, but they're saying that, you know, it's really hurting their reputation as the experts in the music and entertainment industry. So I thought that was interesting. I thought this was a very interesting case to come up again, and that it's not ending for Prince, you know, and again, it just started a month ago. So
And you know, but when you're in a position like theirs, right, a lot of things to consider. You've got all these entities, and you know, who ends up, and in this case, when because he died without a will, you know, he could have at least, if he had the opportunity, he really did have the opportunity, just didn't do it. But to name who the beneficiaries are and defining what those people's rights are within different companies, that could have been addressed through proper estate planning, so that even if they were beneficiaries only, you know, there would be, they would we would be able to delineate without having to come to an agreement like they did here as to who the beneficiaries are, who's in charge, and what their rights are and everything. Because now it's like all up to guys. Well, I own the company and therefore da 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 da. But if it was set up in a will, it's set up in some type of, you know, documentation, it'd be so much harder to go outside of that and start violating the terms of it, because it's not something that they agreed to later on. So almost like a settlement. Yeah. I feel like had there been some planning, a lot of things wouldn't have to happen. But people will be disappointed regardless. Like in this case, even if you know, he did set up everything correctly, whoever the beneficiaries are, certainly they have rights, right, within these companies. If you're you have a business interest or you have an ownership interest in an LLC, no matter what, you do have an interest. But you know, having to go to court and spend all that money just to decide what your responsibilities, what your rights are, that's just eating away in everybody's share. And yeah, if you have it written out, it's like, sorry, that's what it is.
And you're wondering if future projects might have to be put on hold till you figure out what's going on here. Absolutely. A regular day-to-day business is going to be disrupted. Right. I think what it comes down to, and it's not just for family businesses or businesses, but even just in a family, you know, communication, making sure we're always communicating with each other, having, you know, regular in businesses or this kind of family, we want regular meetings to make sure we're all on the same page. And I don't know if they were having that here. It seems like there's a big miscommunication. There's a lot of lack of clarity of, I guess, whose role or how things work, because people jumping to the conclusions of this is how we're going to do it. I think if it wasn't fleshed out and if you had regular meetings, maybe someone would have said like, yeah, that's not really how we're doing it. Or we can see you're not happy with what's going on. Let's figure this out instead of having it now your dirty laundry out here. Right. Exactly. I mean, and especially if you have a family business. So this is, you know, Prince has a family business, and we help a lot of clients who have great family businesses. And what's important is to make sure that, you know, what's the goal here? So a lot of them, their goal is to protect the legacy. That's especially someone like Prince. That legacy is not only lucrative, but it's also, you know, the hard work you put in. There's only one Prince, you know, so you want to make sure everyone is involved doing the right thing to protect its reputation. And like I said, the going from generation to generation. So I really think that if you have a business like this, that you make sure it's, you know, it's something that you're always focusing on and doing the right thing. And again, I've always said this, right, Chris, when we have especially celebrities who may not have the right paperwork in line or in place, I always ask, where were their advisors? Like they surround themselves with people, stylists, marketing people, you know, travel people. What about this? Like what, where, what happened, right?
It's always the question in these situations where somebody passes away. They have so many assets. And one thing they didn't plan for was later on. I mean, what happens after the fact? And the thing is, the way I see it, the way the law works, technically, if they're saying that according to the laws of Minnesota, those six siblings were entitled to the estate, I mean, for you and I, you know, everything would just be liquidated and sold and go and split like six ways. That's typically what would happen. But when you have an entity that Prince was part of, they're not about to get rid of that entity and liquidate it and split it up six ways. It's an ongoing thing, because it's not like his legacy is going to end right now and nothing else is going to happen to all the rights of his music or any kind of residual money that he there could be that could be entitled to. Yeah. So That's why the planning had to be there to address what's going to happen to my legacy, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just, yeah, it's hard to come up, wrap your head around it, because you and I, we're just like, everything, my $5 is going to go to my child. Or maybe $100.
And I mean, and one thing too about planning, right? It's not just about what happens when I'm not here, but it's also, what if I was disabled? What if I lost comprehension or capacity of making decisions? Who's going to step in my shoes? That's really another thing too. So say Prince was alive and well, however, unable to communicate, unable to comprehend things, someone who would have had to step in and take over the business, you know, and you're hoping maybe there were paperwork that would giving like a power of attorney to someone. I don't know, you know, who would do that. But I'm also thinking about contingency plans, right, Chris? So when Prince died, it was, you know, startling to everyone. It was like, oh, because I don't think he had a prolonged illness that people were, if I recall, it was something that happened unexpectedly, sadly. And as a result, you know, you're wondering, okay, who's going to be stepping in? But you also want to be sure of that. Like if you do appoint agents, people to act for you, they have a backup plan, you know? So if they're not around to carry out your wishes, who's the second? Who's going to come in? You know, we need alternates. And that's also another important thing to plan out that we've always said with families. I mean, how many have we had, Chris, where they only nominated one person and now sadly that person passed away or can't manage and we don't have anybody else. It's hard, you know.
Then they have to go through that process of guardianship, right, Chris? I mean, that is always a lengthier process, and you know, very often that costs a lot of money legally, you know, legal fees, and it takes some time to go through when all you could have done is make sure you had a properly updated power of attorney all along, you know, for these kind of situations where all of a sudden you lose capacity, you lose the, you know, the ability to manage your own affairs. That's why we do that as part of our estate plan, right, Chris?
Right. I mean, you really have to, you know, that's one of the biggest things I've always said as a takeaway, that it's just really important to manage this. And again, you know, I guess one of the usefulness of having some of the celebrities when they go through this is hopefully we're learning things about it, you know, that we're learning that, you know, these are the things that could happen on a really enhanced, under a microscope, scale. And if that's what could happen to them, obviously it you know, can definitely happen to any of us, you know, and I think that's where we're just sad about. And again, you know, here we had a prolonged battle that took almost 10 years to figure out. You think it's over, then it's still not over, because you're really piecing together people who may not have known each other, have the experience to deal with something as big as this. And then you're having other people who are advisors, but, you know, we're all thrown into this big hodgepodge pot of trying to work together. Sometimes it works. And then you have this, sadly, you know, and I have to say a lot of it, you know, having two different entities managing the same estate. I'm like, I'm not sure of the why on that. I just felt like, oh, that's already sounding complicated. So now you have, right?
I know. Two entities.
Like,
what? Why?
Why did we do that? Maybe there's a great reason for it, but we don't know why. But if I were involved, I'd be like, it's hard to understand. Especially if you're not in the business, you're thinking like, okay, so who's this guy? Who's this guy? You know, and then there's rules for this and rules for you. And so that means there's two operating agreements. There's two different managing partners and things like that. I don't know. It's just very interesting to me. Sadly, and just the expense involved, I'm just thinking, Chris, of running all these things.
I
do hope they find a way. You know, one of the things I've always mentioned is that when we have issues with estates and litigation, in the end, there's really not a lot of case law to guide the courts, to guide attorneys on what would be a proper solution. And the reason why is because these are very expensive lawsuits. There's typically no insurance that's involved that's going to pay. It's everyone's pocket. It's like the estate itself paying cold hard cash to pay the attorneys to manage this, to pay the experts to analyze this, to pay, you know, people to help out and to be involved with this. It's very, very expensive. So that's one reason why people don't always have a court order or a judgment, make a decision, because it's so expensive to get up to that point. So we end up settling. So we really don't know all the nuances of the why. We just know the outcome of this is how we did it. 70-30 split or 50-50 split, whatever it is. So that's something you have to keep in mind of if you do get involved in some type of probate litigation, litigation after someone dies or an estate litigation. There's a lot of money involved that really, if you don't have the cash to keep going, it's going to be very challenging, very challenging. The estate might be able to pay for a certain amount, but that's just money out of everyone's share, right? I mean, in the end, that's how it goes, Chris.
Sadly. Because it's just one pot of money that you're all fighting over, you know, and the person who is not, you know, and sadly, very often, it's the executor's fees that are covered. The executor's legal fees are covered, not everybody else's, unless that becomes part of the, you know, negotiations.
Yeah.
So sometimes getting to that point is also very challenging. So
very. It's sad. Very sad. Yeah. Well, I hope everyone will take some of this information and apply it to their everyday lives as some type of lesson. There is opportunities here to improve and to protect ourselves as families. But we are also on the lookout. So we're going to keep scouring the news and looking for new things that are happening in the news that we know could be an education to all of us and really bring it down to earth. Because it's one thing to say, have a will. And then you see what's going on here in these families. And you're like, oh, that's really good reason why to have a will, at the very least. So I hope all of you enjoyed this. I hope we always have fun talking about it and exploring it and just fascinated about, you know, certain decision making that's made with the celebrities. Tune in. We're going to have more stories and more episodes coming up. But thank you again, everyone, for listening to our podcast. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. For more, go to mattislaw.com.